Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And there will be a breakthrough revival like we have never, ever recorded. Living Way Church will be filled not with people that just got disappointed in other churches, but people that were suffering and hurting and didn't know God, that they will come by the hundreds and the thousands and give their life to Christ. There used to be a time when maybe what I was needing was a car. I don't need that anymore. There might have been a time when I was needing clothes. I don't need that anymore. There might be a time when I was needing a house. I don't need that. All of my promises that I'm seeking now are about spiritual things. I want to see miracles in this church. I want to see people that need healings receive their healings. I want to see people come to Christ. I want to see people's families saved. And so God gave Israel a promise. And God's promises are what? Yea and amen. God gave them a promise, and that promise was, I'm going to give you a home. I'm going to give you a land. Because Israel had been in exile. They didn't have a land. They were in bondage. They were drifting about. They were sojourning. God said, I'm going to give you a promise. But sometimes when God says he's going to give us a promise, we just think it's going to fall in our laps. But there's always things that are required of us to receive the promises of God. Israel needed a home, and God said, I'm going to do that. That became primary in their life. It became a priority in their life. We're going to possess a land that will be ours. In order for you to get a promise, it has to become a priority in your life. If your children are not living for Christ and you want to take that promise and say, I want my children to say, that's going to have to become a priority in your life. Something that you pray about consistently. Something that you're used in a way to influence them, whatever it is. And so, number one, you need to isolate the promise. You know, the Bible said we pray, we have not because we ask not. We're all familiar with that. But did you know it also says we have not because we ask amiss? In other words, we're generic. We don't isolate. We don't put a bullseye on anything. We don't get a target. You have to isolate your promise. The number one thing in Israel's mind is we're going to possess that land. There ought to be a promise that you're working on all the time. And when you get that promise, you move on to the next one. That's the way I've lived my life, is I acquire this, whatever it is, spiritually or otherwise, I acquire, then I move on to something else. And it should be that way with the promises of God. What is it you need most? As I'm speaking to you right now, you ought to take inventory of your life and say, what is the promise I need most in my life? Maybe it's a healing for your body. You say, well, I wouldn't be that selfish. Well, if you're not strong physically, you're probably not going to be able to minister like you want to. So it's not selfish to ask God to give you divine healing and divine health, because I want to be strong for my family and for my friends and for my contacts and my peers. Whatever it is, you need to isolate that as I'm speaking right now and say, this is the number one thing I need in my life. You know, and it's not selfish to ask God to bless you financially. Because if you're under the gun financially, you can't be the best husband or the best wife or the best parent. It's when God takes that bondage off of you and you no longer have to take all of your existing thoughts about money. Now you can begin to think about people and their needs. So the number one thing is isolate your promise. What is it I really need? Israel needed a land, and that became very personal to them. The second thing is, personalize the promise. Read yourself in the scripture. Don't always think, well, that promise is for Israel. That promise is for the church. That promise is for something else. You need to make it very personal, very personal. God knows me by name. God's numbered the hairs on my head. God knows every thought and every need I have. Personalize your promise. Read yourself into the scripture and say, I was born. God knew me before I was born, but when I was still in my mother's womb, God knew me. God has a plan for me. Personalize that promise. Read yourself in the scripture. 3, meet the requirements of the promise. Every time I sign a contract on a business deal, one of the things I'm concerned about are what are the requirements. What are the requirements on that? I remember signing the first big loan I got in San Antonio. I signed it, and I was pretty young, and I didn't realize it, but I signed that note, and it was variable interest. And I borrowed $1 million for the church on variable interest with no ceiling. It floated to 19.5% interest. That means that we were paying almost $200,000 a year on a $1 million loan. I learned a lot from that. I've never signed a variable interest loan since then. But you got to look at the requirements, and there are requirements. That is probably the sin of the charismatic church is we think the promises are obtainable without the requirements. Look what he said in Deuteronomy. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations. I will bless, and all these blessings shall come upon thee, and I will bless you in the city, and I will bless you in the field. We're big about the blessing in the field, and the blessing in the city, and all these blessings that are going to come upon us. But we're a little slow on if you will hearken diligently unto the Lord to observe and do all of his commandments. When you get ready to possess a promise of God, you say, now, God, what must I do? What are my requirements to qualify myself for this promise? It's not difficult when you learn the nature of God. The most important thing is to learn the nature of God. God is a God that will never hurt you. Even when you don't have the faith to obey God's commandments, if you know his nature, you can trust him. Because you say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. God is a good God. God is a loving God. God loves me, and I'm going to take this step and be obedient to this commandment, even though I don't know. I do know this one thing. I can trust God. I can trust God. One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible is, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How can you trust a God that will slay you? Because he's a God of resurrection. If God were to slay you, he'd bring you back better than you were before he slew you. That's the God that we serve. And so when you say, I'm going to possess a promise, there's going to be some commandments, some requirements, but I can promise you, if you will do those, you will come out the other side and say, praise God, I'm glad that I did that. Embrace the provision of the promise, number four. You say, well, there's no way. When they got to Canaan land and they sent those 12 spies in, two of them had a great report, 10 of them had a bad, because 10 of them did not realize God is going to equip me. They just looked at the giants and said, they're bigger than I am. They're bigger than we are. They outnumber us. There's no way we can possess this land. Ladies and gentlemen, God will equip you. If God allows you to go in a battle, he will equip you. It's an old story. Remember the story of David and Goliath. He was the smallest. He was the least experienced, but God equipped him. And God will equip you. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by your ability. It's by the fact that you are anointed. When you are saved, you immediately have access to the anointing of God. And anointing breaks the yoke every time. And when those 10 spies looked at those giants, they said, yeah, that's a great promise, and that's a great land, and we wished we could have it, but we can't because they're bigger than we, because they forgot that God was going to equip them. You might face some tremendous mountains in your life, but I can promise you, if you will be faithful to God, if you will observe and do God's commandments, I promise you that you will be victorious over every enemy, no matter how big it seems. Identify the image of a promise chaser. You are a promise chaser. You are going after the promises of God. I'm not looking for the promises of the world. I'm looking for the promises of God. When I observe the rich and the famous in this world, they're usually very despondent. They're usually very sad. They don't live the life that I live. I live a life of abundance and a life of joy. Why is that? not because of fame or importance. It's because that God has equipped me and I am a promise chaser, and I realize that I am bigger than any obstacle the devil can put in my pathway. I realize that. And I say, God is going to make me the victor. But they said, and when we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Friend, it's a wonderful thing when you have confidence in who you are in the Lord. It's not pride. It's not arrogance. It's just knowing the Lord is on my side. The Lord is going to bring this to naught. The Lord is going to turn it around. What the devil means for evil is actually going to turn out to be a blessing in my life. That's the way I live every day of my life. And there's not a day that goes by in my life, Trish, that something negative happens, but before the sun sets, that negative is turned into a positive. God turns it around. And so I have come to the place, I don't see myself as a grasshopper. I see the enemy as the grasshopper, and I see me as a big shoe about to step on it. We are cursed in this building with crickets. They come every year, and they tell us the reason why is because all the lights we got on, and I refuse to turn out the lights. One of the members of the city council came by and gave me a check. I said, what's it for? He said, it's for keeping the lights burning on those crosses. He said, I don't come to your church, but he said, I drive by it, and when I'm going through something at night and I see that light on that cross, he said, I know I can make it. Here's a check for the church. And so I refuse to turn out the lights. Well, the downside is you're going to have to endure a few crickets along the way. But praise God, I take joy in stepping on them. Take that, take that. I don't see myself as a cricket. I see myself as a giant killer. I don't see myself as a grasshopper. I see the enemy as the grasshopper, and I see myself as the giant. There is nothing I can't do. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you balance the scripture. The Bible said, rightly divide the word of God. And if you don't rightly divide it, you never get the full effect of it. I love these two scriptures, and I might be the only man in the world that puts them together. I love to rightly divide the word of God. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's the scripture. But I have now made it a part of another scripture. Oh, wretched man that I am, I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. That gives me hope. I know some of my charismatic friends that are word of faith, they won't quote that scripture, oh, wretched man that I am. But I quote it because when I quote that, I say, because in spite of my downfallings, my mistakes, my sins, my failures, oh, wretched man that I am, I can still do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Why? Because I'm a giant, and praise God, I kill grasshoppers. That's what God has called me to do. That's the way I possess the land. And so 10 men came back and said, there's no way. We see ourselves as grasshoppers, and we see them as giants. But there were two men by the name of Joshua and Caleb, and they said, oh, let's talk about what is there. That's the first thing you got to do, is talk about the promise. So let's talk about the promise. They got grapes in there as big as basketballs, and they've got milk and honey. Somebody said, well, times are tough. I can tell you this, the bigger the bee, the sweeter the honey. I can tell you that. It doesn't matter what there is against the church today. God is going to give us tremendous victory. And we've got to get up every day saying, the Lord has told us we can have a promised land. And you know what I like about the promised land? Some people are confused. The promised land is not heaven. There are no giants to kill in heaven. The promised land is the land that we're living now. It's what Jesus said when he said, I give you life and it more abundantly. I'm living in the promised land. That means there's still going to be some giants that I have to deal with. There's still going to be some trials that I have to deal with. But praise God, I can overcome them because I chase the promises of God. And I've lived long enough to see God fulfill promise after promise after promise after promise. He has given me exactly the things he said he would. We sat in this beautiful auditorium today on the most valuable property in San Antonio, and I praise God for that. But I remember driving this city for days saying, God, I've got to have a building if I'm going to have a church. And I remember being over by Lackland. I drove all over the city, no matter what part of the city it was. I was over by Lackland. I was 25 years of age, and I was looking for property, and I saw a sign on the side of the road. And the sign of the road and the sign by the side of the road says, do what you can with what you've got where you are. That inspired me. I know that's an old cliche, but I had never heard it before. And I saw it on that sign, and I drove back the next day to look for it, and the sign wasn't there. There was no sign there. I don't know. You said, you think it was there? I don't know that. I just know God gave me the sign. That was what I needed. And I looked at so many inferior buildings and inferior locations. And then God gave us this property, prime property. And praise God. God told me you were coming. And look, I'm blessed to pastor you of all people. Praise God. I told Becky the other day, I said, when I die, I want Tammy to speak at my funeral. I want her to be one of the speakers at my funeral because she just is so emblematic of what I came here to do, to have people that just love the Lord, full of prayer, were not swayed by circumstance, did not stop, did not quit. And she is just one of hundreds of people that come to this church that say, I just won't quit. Brother Warren's another one. So today, they're sitting all over this building. Every one of you are a fulfilled promise in my life. I'm just telling you that God will fulfill His promise. Don't give up on a promise. Isolate your promise. Don't let the devil say you're too young, you're too old, you're too small, you're too white, you're too black, you're too brown, you're too yellow, you're too Pentecostal, you're too Catholic. You ain't too nothing. God will fulfill His promise if you will just grab a hold and not turn loose. Whatever you're looking for, do you need a home? Do you need a husband? Do you need a wife? Do you need your children saved? Do you need a business? God will fulfill that promise. You just got to get your faith up. You can't be like those 10 spies and say it's a great promise, but it's not available. Yes, God's promises are available to you. Get a Joshua spirit. Get a Caleb spirit. And say, we are well able to conquer the land. We are well able to get the grapes and the milk and the honey. God's promises, and it doesn't matter how many seeming giants are in our way. Greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. The Lord is on my side. There's not a devil. There's not a person. There's not a circumstance that can stop you from obtaining what God said you could have. You need to get your faith out and dust it off, wave it around a little bit, and tell everybody, I am more than a conqueror. I am saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. I am well able to obtain this land. I can speak to that mountain, and that mountain has to be moved. Whatever you pray, when you believe that you will have it when you pray, and you shall receive it in Jesus' name. If you want to read a story of success, read the story in the life of Kenneth Hagin Sr. He was an amazing man, the father of the Word of Faith movement in America. What a great man he was, but he started sick. God healed him. God raised him up. And he went from miracle after miracle after miracle of his life. And when he died in perfect health. He just sat at his breakfast table, smiled at his wife, put his chin on his chest, and stepped into glory without being sick. Ladies and gentlemen, he was a man of faith. But he's not the only man of faith I know. I know you, and you're a man of faith. I know you, and you're a woman of faith. You know me, and I'm a man of faith. And together, praise God, I promise you we can change this church. We can change this city. But just as importantly, we can change you and your family and your circumstance. It's going to turn around. Let's come together and join hands of faith and say, we can possess the promise. We can possess the land. We can make a difference in San Antonio. I'm not ready to throw in the towel. I'm not ready to say, well, the trend is this. I'm not ready to say, well, these are the last days and there's a great falling away. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to live life to its fullest every day. I'm going to have revival every day of my life. I'm going to see people saved every week. I'm going to see a harvest like I've never seen. The last days of my life are not going to be the worst. They're going to be the best, praise God. I am possessing the promise. And the promise is that God is going to send an earthquake, a volcano of His love, His presence, His power, His restoration, His revival. That this church is going to be filled beyond capacity, not with church hoppers, but with people that need Christ, people that are on drugs, people that are sick, people that are addicted, people that are suicidal. There is a revival coming. Maybe you don't have the ear, but my faith says, I hear the sound of going in a mulberry tree. God is moving. I see angels all around about us. I see a promised land with grapes and milk and honey. I see the best days are yet ahead of me, and I'm going to live that every day. It's getting better and bigger. I rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Stand on your feet with me and lift your hands and rejoice for what God has done. Hallelujah. 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 Most of you have been around living way long enough that you can see blessings in your life. Don't forget what God has done. Don't forget what God has done. Don't ever be ungrateful for what God has done. But do not settle on your lees and say, well, the best days are behind me. I'm now getting older and I'm just going to do my very best. And I'm on a fixed income. God can unfix your income. I don't care if you're 70 years of age. You can have the greatest financial revenue stream you've ever had in your life. There is a God that knows no limitation. There is a God that is super abundant. There's a God of whom there is no increase of His government. There is a God of abundance. There is no supply chain problem with God. God can get it to you. God can get it to you. It's coming. It's on the way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be a praiser. Be a prayer. Be a confessor. Possess the land in Jesus' name. I wonder if there's somebody in this building right now that's got a dire need in their life. And they would like to cover that need today with promise and say, God, I've got a great need. Remember, every miracle starts with a need. Every miracle starts with a problem. Are you ready to cover your need today with the miracle of God and say, I'm going to believe that my promise from God is bigger than my problem from the adversary. My promise is bigger than my problem. And right now, I'm bringing my problem up here, and I'm going to baptize my problem with the promise of God. I'm going to believe that God is a Savior. I'm going to believe He is a healer. I'm going to believe He is a waymaker. I'm going to believe He's an emancipator, that He will set me free. I believe He's going to do something in my family. He's a reconciler. He's going to put my family back together. He's going to bring my children back home. He's going to save my family. Confess it every day. Ladies and gentlemen, just don't quit. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. What is faith? Faith is doing what you know to do when you don't feel like it. Faith is knowing, is doing what you know to do when you don't feel like it. I've spent my life not feeling like doing what I was doing. But I knew that if I didn't, my feeling was going to eventually match my faith. It was going to be good after a while. And I'd say, if I do this, this is going to be the result.